Mark's Gospel Lesson 4. Jesus challenges the literal meaning of law. Jesus called Levi to be a disciple. He ate with the sinners, and his disciple did not fast according to Jewish tradition. Jesus did not seem to keep the Sabbath and healed the sick on the Sabbath. At the first glance, you will think that Jesus was in every way a man who was not bound by any laws. There were some sinners in the Jewish culture, such as tax collectors, who were detested by the Jews. The Jews thought that the tax collectors sold their souls to the Roman government because they used to cheat and extort people, and sometimes they added extra charges to the taxes in order to benefit themselves. Therefore, the Jews hated them. It is as if we are now in the lockdown, and if at this time you happen to have a shortage of food in your house and the government advocates that food has been given to you, but on the other hand, someone stole your food given by the government, will you hate him? At a time when people are suffering the most, these people's conscience is devoid to do such things. Normally, the Jews would not even let them into the synagogue or have any relationship with them. But Jesus actually went to their homes, ate and drank with them, and even talked freely, taught them the word of God. If you are a devoted Jew, what would you think? Not only that, but on every Monday and Thursday, devout Jews fasted 2 times a week. Jesus said he is the Son of God, but did not teach his disciples to fast. If you are a devout Jew who love God, what would you think? Additionally, the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments, the greatest commandments in God's law. But Jesus did not rest on the Sabbath, nor did he stop his disciples from picking some heads of grain to eat when they passed through the grain field. He also healed the sick on the Sabbath. If you were a devoted Jew, what would you think? We should first come to understand where the law came from. The Lord God called Moses, the leader of the Israelites, to Mount Sinai and gave the law to him. The law came from God himself. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's commandments never diminished or decreased. God told Adam to be obedient and not to disobey God, told Abraham to live a holy life, and also issued the law to the Israelites so that they would be perfect and not die of sin. These commandments simply changed in some forms and kept coming up, but no one in the history has ever been able to achieve this level of obedience. So God never abolished the law. But we saw the Israelites' constant failure, whether in Exodus, in the book of Judges, in the book of Kings, or in the books of the prophets. We can then know that there was never a righteous one in the history of salvation. Because of this, only God himself could do it. So he became flesh, and he himself revealed the new commandment, the new law, the Sermon on the Mount. He kept all the laws that he proclaimed to the point of being declared righteous and becoming the righteous one after his resurrection. Christ ascended into heaven when he was called the righteous one. His ascension was not that he ran away to avoid the work of establishing the kingdom of God. He is now establishing the kingdom of heaven and on earth and leading his people to establish it together. Just as in the beginning of God was in heaven and wanted to establish the kingdom through Adam who was on earth. So Jesus Christ is not challenging the law but by not keeping it. Rather, his coming has fulfilled the law. The spiritual meaning of the law. We have spoken of the civil, ceremonial, and moral laws that was included in the Torah. In particular, the ceremonial law include many things with specific meaning. The obvious one is that in Numbers, the numbers in the Bible, 1, 3, 7, 12, 40, 70, all have spiritual meanings. Why are these numbers made mysterious by the Creator of heaven and earth? It is not the numbers that are mysterious, but God intended to use all kinds of parables to draw people to Jesus Christ. The Jews asked Jesus a similar question, and the Lord answered in John chapter 3, verse 12, "If I have told you earthly things you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Therefore, God often needs to use symbols, parables to speak to us of spiritual things. All things were symbolic before the birth of Jesus Christ. The religious festivals, the numbers, the new moon celebrations, the cleansing of the uncleanness, etc., all point to Jesus Christ. But these truths were not known before Jesus said in Luke 10:24, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." It was mentioned again in Hebrews 4:13 that in Christ everything is uncovered. So the Lord Jesus opened up the meaning of the law as it was meant to be in these days, in their days. The most famous law described in the Bible in terms of dates are the Sabbath, the sabbatical year, and the Jubilee year. The most basic cycle of the Israel's calendar is seven. The last day of 7 days is the Sabbath, followed by the sabbatical year, which follows a cycle of every 7 years, and the Jubilee year. The issue God wants to address through the Sabbath is the worship of His own people. The people needed to be taught, and the congregation needed to remember their identity in God's kingdom. The Sabbath was originally established as a day of reflection for the people of Israel, a day of reflection on the reality of a broken world, a day for the people of Israel to know their mission and to look forward to the eternal rest. The issue God wants to address concerning the year of Jubilee is the hope for eternity. For the year of Jubilee ultimately represents the perfect society, full of righteousness, a society like the Garden of Eden, so people may enjoy the kingdom of God again in it. The numbers 1,000 and 10,000 represent eternity. The 1,000 generation represent eternal rest. It will be fulfilled at the time of Christ's return. The eschatological coming is when the Holy Spirit descended at the day of Pentecost. The promise of the last days is the living God will gather together His own people and give them a new body, which from the truth of Revelation and 1 Corinthians will be of different level of glory, immortal, and will not need rest or experience weariness. The glory of heaven and earth are all different. The sun and moon look different than they do now and are able to be across time and space. When the time comes, God will give His people and children a perfect society, full of justice and righteousness, with work to do that is not boring, with great joy, and God Himself will appear to all His children through Jesus. You will dwell with God, and God will wipe away all their tears, and there will be no more death, nor mourning, crying, or pain, for all the former things have passed away. This is the new heaven and the new earth spoken of in Revelation. It is also called the kingdom of heaven. It's not a place of imagination. It's not a place where dead people live. It's a physical place where God and His children live. Jesus Himself came to show us that He is the Lord of the Sabbath, that the Sabbath was instituted for man, but men were not for the Sabbath, and that He Himself is greater than the temple. He loved mercy instead of sacrifice, which is the essence of Christianity. But still today, there are all kinds of absurd arguments to bring us back into the law, into Jewish tradition, such as the Seventh-day Adventist Church mentioned by the book of Colossians. It insists that one must keep the Sabbath to please God. But we Christians today are not under the restriction of such laws. The Jewish rituals were shadows of Christ. The rituals established in Old Testament times were prefigurations. The Sabbath is the model of taking rest to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that the Lord Jesus has come, but the Seventh-day Adventists continue to focus their energies on the shadow. Colossians 2:17 says, "Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Under the ancient rule, people put their sins on the sacrifice of atonement by faith and transferred sin to the earthly sanctuary by its blood. In the New Testament era, repentant people put their sins on Christ by faith. This is also what Jesus meant when He said not to focus on all the old wineskin. Paul in Colossians chapter 2 emphasized that diet, religious festival, new moon celebrations, and Sabbath are all shadow of the things that were to come. At the end of Galatians, it is emphasized that circumcision or uncircumcision is irrelevant. What matters is to be a new creation, which is our most fundamental pursuit, to be a new creation. But today, there are still our brothers and sisters who are not strong in the truth, who are seduced and coaxed who take the shadow for the truth and the truth for the shadow. The unimportant is treated as important and the important as unimportant. Don't Christians still have Sunday today? And what exactly is the significance of Sunday? The point is that you come to know the true meaning of faith when getting together with other believers over and over again. It is common knowledge during the sinner's prayer we confess that we have sinned, we have died out in our sin in the past, at that time, the purpose of our lives, our minds, our words, and our actions were under the dominion of sin, following the custom of this world and obeying the rulers of the kingdom of the air. Now, believing the blood of Jesus Christ is the only power that frees us from the law of sin and death. We enter into the law of life, of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. True repentance before God, the Eternal Father, has turned us from darkness to light, from Satan to God. To die with Jesus Christ and rise with Him bring us new life. We have formally joined the Eternal Kingdom and the Church of God's people on earth, to love God with all our hearts and soul, and to love the Lord's church with all our might, and to do our part among the members of the church. This is the reason why we must obey Sunday. This is the reason why we must observe Sunday. We must learn and remember it over and over again to help us gain spiritual knowledge in a channel of grace that God has given to us, to know who we are, why we live, and where our hope lies. For those brothers and sisters who do not observe Sunday, your pastor and the group leaders can only encourage, but we are responsible for our own souls. Do not be seduced by absurd theology. The Lord comes not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus resolved the problem of the law and substance, and then he said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I believe that not every believer has a deep understanding of sin. As we become more mature in our spiritual lives, we will understand it more and more, for the closer we get to know God, the clearer we see ourselves. Thomas Watson, a minister, experienced it. He wrote in his diary, "This saving faith lives in a broken heart, always grow in a heart humbled by sin, in a weeping eye and a tearful conscience." The pardoned tax collector experienced it, Luke 18:13, and a tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Simon Peter, who had lost his faith, experienced it. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knee, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinner, O Lord." The woman who washed Jesus' feet with tears experienced in Luke chapter 4, verse 44 to 47 says, "Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.'" The call-out tax collector, Matthew, who is the author of Matthew's Gospel, he experienced it too. The sharp looks and remarks from the Jews and the bitter hatred made him feel abandoned by the whole world except the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Honestly, the world never recognizes its own sin either. That's why so many unbelievable things are going on. Some time ago, the Shanghai Public Security Bureau published a case that three procurement officers of the Meilong town in Minghang district has spent 7.6 million yuan to buy some spoiled meat and pig breast, the inedible parts, for distribution to the residents. Because this procurement is for resident daily necessity, it particularly hurts people's feeling. When you interact with them, they are highly educated and so courteous. As far as I know, the town of Meilong has also been rewarded for civilization and harmony. But when tempted by personal interest, the sinful and ugly side of human nature manifested quickly. On one side, they face the people who have food shortage and nowhere to buy their daily necessity. But on the other side, it's about personal gain. Human nature simply chose the latter. Such a choice was tantamount to adding insult to injury to the thousands of people who had food shortage, showing how character and human nature failed the temptation of personal interest so easily. This is what the Bible told us long ago, that the world has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no righteous man, not one righteous man on earth. The Lord said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Pray for the kingdom of God to come and for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Another piece of news is that a young girl in Hong Kong district asked a delivery boy to deliver food to a deaf father in order to take care of him and gave 200 yuan tip afterwards. However, she was misunderstood by people on social media and got cyber attacked, who misjudged her as being mean because she couldn't stand a malicious public comment. She later jumped off to her death. Malice from the public collectively formed a sharp word sword, breaking the psychological defense of the victim, resulting in a tragedy. The family that was cyber attacked was left with a 7-year-old child, a helpless husband, and a deaf elderly father. The people who cyber attacked her claimed that the younger girl wasn't kind or generous enough. Under the banner of justice, they felt that they were on the side of justice. The distorted understanding of human nature has buckled the self-taught Pharisee righteousness to this woman. The world cannot recognize the sin and malice in the voice of criticism. Everyone sees themselves as the righteous one and others as the unrighteous, and the result is evil. So we realize something that even the reformer Martin Luther said, that not knowing the righteousness of God is doubly evil. So many unthinkable things are so close to us today. Everyone goes to bed worried about stocking up the fridge every night, nervously clicking on the data released in Shanghai every morning after competing for food on those apps, then opening the day with PCR, AST, group purchase, hot news, and seeing the daily request for help with events that refresh the bottom line of understanding. So many things that cross our bottom line happen in such glamorous city with number one GDP in China and being a metropolitan city. We can better understand that what it means that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, not a single righteous person on earth. The Lord said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Pray for the coming of the kingdom of God and for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the coming of the kingdom hidden from the eyes of fallen mankind, which is your kingdom. Father, we declare that your kingdom has come as it has manifested in the kingdom of heaven. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many people ask why they are still suffering and heartache when God can save all people and save the world. Because God uses suffering to make people see the idols in their hearts and know God. The famous story in the Bible is the book of Job, and the greatest king in the world is King David. And David said in the Psalms that God gives relief from his stress. The biggest problem in man is that he does not treat God as God, he treats himself as God, without any reverence, and the more powerful he is, the more he goes against the natural law that God has made. We need to pray for the world to break its idols. The Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners repentance. Let us pray that the grace of the Lord will touch the darkest places and the kingdom of God will come. Amen.